continuing our Christian questions with their answers. Do you believe, then, that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this? What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood and in this way receive his pledge?
We should.
Why should we remember and proclaim his death? Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, that first cycle of questions of preparation that we went through spelled out the basic proclamation of the church. We are all sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. The final question in that cycle was, in whom do you trust? With the answer being Jesus. If you don't think you are a sinner, the supper is not for you. If you trust in anything else, the supper is not for you. If you hope that your salvation can be found in the supper, you will find what you seek. But that simple proclamation leaves a bunch unsaid, a bunch unexamined. And the second cycle of questions from last week started with the simple one, who is Christ? We can certainly be convinced that the man on the cross is our salvation without knowing a whole lot about him, because faith is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's not dependent upon any of our mental faculties. But that doesn't mean that we are to live in ignorance. Part of the great commission that Jesus gave was to teach his disciples everything that I have commanded you. And so the point of that second cycle of questions was the creed. God has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity. And there are two natures in one Christ, who is both God and man. This Christ left his church a new covenant, a last will and testament. That's the Lord's Supper. In the sacrament, like the ancient Israelites who placed the blood of the lamb over their doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over them, we receive the blood of the lamb for forgiveness and for strengthening us for eternal life. And where we left off last week is the first question tonight. Do you believe this? And this is important, because if we do not recognize the body of Christ, the sacrament is not for us. It's faith, it's that belief that receives the promise. Absent the faith, the blood is more like the blood of Abel, which testifies against us, as our sins have surely killed Christ. But unlike Abel, Christ offered himself willingly. As a song we'll sing later says, he, though heavenly, high, and holy, deigns to dwell with us most lowly. There are two things that would make me think that Luther himself had something to do with these questions. The first is that they consistently return to the faith question. In whom do you trust? Do you believe this? And such questions on faith were important to Luther. The second part is that Luther was never one to just leave it there. He would always ask the question, why should I believe this? And his answer tended to be rather consistent. What convinces me to believe this, that the body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament? And Luther's answer was simple and profound. The words of Christ. It's not looking within my heart or looking inside myself. It's not some philosophical reason. Neither is it something as silly as a material scientific type thing. You can't take the wine and put it under a microscope and find the blood. But belief comes from outside of us. God's word is spoken. And God's word does not return empty, but it accomplishes its purpose. And the purpose of that word is to awaken faith, to bid the dead rise. What convinces me to believe? The word of Christ, spoken to my heart, stirring the spirit within. And that call of faith, our justification, is also a call to action, our sanctification. And that, I think, is the purpose of the next two questions, the last two tonight. As the gathered who heard Peter's preaching that we read a little bit from on Pentecost eventually ask him, what do we do? So, what should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood and in this way receive his pledge? And Luther's answer is twofold. We should remember and we proclaim. We remember what he has done for us and we proclaim it. We confess it. But those words, remember and proclaim, are not just free-floating, because then we would try to attach them to something much nicer or cleaner. What do we remember and proclaim? His death and the shedding of his blood. We remember and proclaim the cross, which is folly to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the word and power of God. We remember and proclaim the cross, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, the power and wisdom of God. We remember and proclaim the cross because that cross is something that none of us would ever do. It's the work of God alone. But why should we do this? He's risen, after all. Why shouldn't we be good Calvinists and insist that the cross is empty just like the tomb? Why should we remember and proclaim his death? And the first answer is a reflection on those creedal answers. It's not the cross itself. Thousands of people were crucified by the Romans. What makes this cross special that we remember him? This Christ is both God and man. This willing sacrifice is the only thing that could make sanctification or make satisfaction for our sins. The second answer goes back to that first cycle of questions. We remember the death and proclaim it that we might be horrified by our sin, that we might see how serious it is that true man and true God is on a cross. Do we pass that cross unheeding, breathing no repentant vow? Because that is what our sin deserves. But the third answer moves from that pure remembrance towards the gospel proclamation. This cross is not just a grand demonstration of who God is, although it is that. Neither is the cross a demonstration of who we are, although it is that. This cross is given to us in the sacrament. We are buried with Christ in our baptisms, and that cross is traced upon us in those waters. And the saving blood is traced on us in the sacrament of the altar. Only what your grace has taught us calms the sinner's deep distress. And that grace is taught at the foot of the cross. Here, we find not our condemnation, but our joy and our comfort in the love of God. While we were sinners, He would die for us. But that's trespassing on next week's questions. Amen.